There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Have you been thinking of becoming a Saints Happy Hour patron? We have an offer you can't refuse. Sign up, and if you don't think Saints Happy Hour is the best daily Saints podcast and you aren't having a blast chatting on our private Discord channel with other Saints fans, we will refund your money. No questions asked. If you sign up at the $10 level, you can even keep our Boost Bundle welcome gift after the refund. You have absolutely nothing to lose, so go to saintshappyhour.com and sign up today.
On today's Saints Happy Hour podcast, we are going to tell you what to root for the picks in front of the Saints, and what players you need to get excited about when other teams take them. Thomas, hit that intro.
Welcome to the award-winning Saints Happy Hour podcast. Seriously, this podcast has won awards? American standards are dropping every day. The show features Ralph, the best host in the world, who can barely pronounce his own name, much less anyone else's.
Marcus Callaway.
Dave is that dude who loves taking bathroom breaks. He's mad about almost anything, so make sure to lower your volume when he speaks.
Put that freaking clown meme back up that I made.
Jesus Christ.
Andrew has sources, watches tapes, and knows football. He rarely shows up on time and wants to commit crimes to help the Saints win.
Sean Payton would have done illegal things. Don't tell me I'm wrong, because you know it's true.
Oh, and there's also Kevin, who is great at doing mock drafts, but struggles to actually watch Saints games or have a functioning relationship.
Butterich wants to know how the doctor's doing.
That ended.
Anyway, grab a drink, sit back, and enjoy the insanity.
All right, everybody, welcome to another edition of Saints Happy Hour podcast. Thanks for joining us. If you find us on the YouTube, subscribe to our channel, like this, share this. And if you're listening to the audio-only version and you're not a patron, become a patron. Go to saintshappyhour.com. We can't do this without you guys. Thanks to all the patrons who support the show. But we love a couple of new people. Join our community. It's the best Saints community going. All right, I got Kevin with me. I got Thomas running the show back in Poland. And on today's show, here's what I wanted to do, Kevin, because during the draft, two of my most favorite things, one of them is my favorite thing, and the other one I don't like, but you guys think is hilarious. My favorite thing, well, I'll start with the thing that you guys think is hilarious. When we're doing the text chain and we're talking about the picks and all this, and I have to go do something, my wife says, go water the flowers, go give Max a bath. And then while I'm away from my phone for that 15 minutes, Mickey Loomis trades up, and I'm nowhere to be found, and I don't know what's going on. That's y'all's favorite thing on the text chain. I do not like it, but y'all really love it. The other thing that is my favorite thing when we're texting each other on our phones and in the Discord with Saints Happy Hour, my other favorite thing is rooting for what we want the teams ahead of the Saints to do. Right? Yep. We're like, take this. We don't give a damn about those players. Take whatever you want. We need this kind of player. And for the entirety of the Sean Payton era, basically, it was just like draft quarterbacks, offense. We don't care. Just leave those defensive players till the Saints get there and we're good. And, you know, me and Andrew was breathing out of a paper bag as Lattimore was falling in 2017. So it was obvious, like, the Saints need defense. And, like, that's what we need for, like, 15 years of Sean Payton era. But this year, I think it's different. I think it's a little bit more complicated. I think it's more than just,
let's just hope the offensive tackles fall. That'll be fine.
I think it's a little more complicated than that. And I wanted to have you on. We talk about the draft most Fridays. But I think your experience and your knowledge doing all these mock drafts and the PFF stuff after the combine has changed, after free agency, the algorithms have changed. And you're doing these mock drafts on the PFF simulator. What are you seeing in those first 12 picks? We'll start with a little bit of negativity. What are you seeing in those first 12 picks
that you don't necessarily like, and you're like, oh no, that's not good for the Saints.
That I don't like.
Or you might like it because,
well, I tell you what,
it could be more likely to trade down.
No. I've got something that I don't like. I'm sure some of you and some of the sycophants that are actually in our Discord will vehemently disagree with me on, which I'm fine. It's like, whatever. You want to disagree with me? Line forms around the block. Brock Bowers.
Oh, here we go.
I've seen Brock Bowers falling. Dropping, slipping to 14 in some mock drafts. Not just in mine, but in like others, you know, like I've looked in other places and I've seen Brock Bowers go as late as 18 or 19.
Yeah.
And that's because other things are happening up top that as Saints fans, we should root for, because we want certain players to fall down to us. Honestly, I would be fine, I would be fine with Brock Bowers being available at 14 because I'm going to stare at my phone and wait for somebody to call me.
Yeah.
Or I might start calling other people up and being like, hey.
Here, I have a question for you. We know the Saints need offensive tackle.
Correct.
But is there just a tiny bit? And you know it too. You listen, the Ramchicks might retire and offensive tackle is a disaster, right? But is there just a little tiny part of you, Kevin, that is like, you know what? If all those offensive tackles are gone at 14 and Brock Bowers is there, maybe will force Mickey Loomis's hand to really consider a trade down.
Take Brock Bowers because he would be the best player available.
That's right.
Which, again, it's like, I'm not going to come out here and hate on it.
Yeah.
But I would just be like, man, I kind of wish the board would have fell a different way because, like, their top need is offensive tackle. And I would say a close second. I don't think it's 1A, 1B anymore because of, like, they did sign the guy from Frisco. I can't think of his name right now.
Chase
but they
Young.
Did sign him, but they do still Chase need Young. To draft an edge tackle.
He's a one-year, he's a rental. Defender. He's a rental, right?
Right, That's a good way to describe it. He is a rental, so they are going to need an edge defender, and I would consider drafting one. You are going to see edge defenders available at 14 as well.
Well, I think, like, you know, Verse is like the prototypical DA, ginormous Hodor size defensive end for your Game of Thrones people. He's like the perfect Saints defensive end. Previously, they like him big, they like him to hold the edge, and they say they're considering drafting him smaller. We'll see. Here's my question though: as you do these mock drafts, I hear the chatter on the quarterbacks. Are you starting to see not just three quarterbacks going in the top 12, let's say, of the mock? Not just four, but are you seeing Sean Payton grasping at Bo Nix? Are you seeing five quarterbacks going, or is that just sort of not the simulator isn't bearing that out?
I've seen I literally on one of my, I don't even want to count all these tabs open on my computer here, but on just this one window, I should say. I have another window, but that's, you know, that's Willie's time. on one of these tabs, actually, Bo Nix is being picked by the Broncos at 12.
Yeah.
And that's pretty wild to see Bo Nix going at 12.
Like,
Like, the fact that five quarterbacks are going at 12, like, honestly, If the Commanders or the Patriots don't trade out of those spots, quarterbacks are going 1, 2, 3.
That's right.
If I could see if the Vikings don't trade up, I don't think the Cardinals aren't going to draft a quarterback. The Chargers won't. Mm-hmm. Tennessee won't. The Falcons won't. The Bears won't take them at 9. Because they already got their guy at 1, and it is 95% certain that it's Caleb Williams. I'm probably underselling that. the Jets won't take a quarterback because they got, yeah, you know, conspiracy theorist, you know, flat earth or whatever the hell. I'll just make up conspiracy theories that he believes in. The Cardinals, maybe, but I could see them still rolling with Call of Duty guy and just picking up.
I think they are. I think
wide receiver.
Kyler Murray was good when he came back last year. I think that the Cardinals are committed to him.
So that leaves the Vikings at 11, which means I could definitely see them getting JJ McCarthy.
Yeah.
So that's four quarterback, which the Saints, as a Saints fan, you should want.
You want it. That's right.
The four quarterbacks to go before 14. I mean, in an insane world, yes, somebody would, you know, the Broncos or the Raiders would panic and grab Bo Nix. I've only seen Bo Nix go,
but here's the
a very small number of times.
Here's the thing with Denver that I knew it, but I didn't. I knew it, but I didn't really understand it until I started listening to Robert Mays and Nate Tice, their podcast, and they were going through the team. They go count backs 32 to 1, and they go through all the team needs. And until they said it out loud, I didn't realize it. Denver, we should know this because the Saints have their second round pick. Denver doesn't have a second round pick. Doesn't have a third round pick. Like they don't, they're like the Saints, man. They have a giant hole where they don't have picks. So like Denver might be in this weird area of like, oh my God, we love Bo Nix and we don't have a pick in the second. We can't wait for the second round pick and then try to trade up. And we don't like any of these, you know, and the thing is with teams freak out about quarterback in a way they don't about other positions.
We're a team because quarterback is the biggest. I wish I could think of a good series of words here for this. The draft is the apex or the crux of selling your fan base on hope.
Yeah.
That's the commodity. More than anything. Well, fan bases across any sport want to have hope.
Well, that's it. And the thing about the quarterback is and
the quarterback is the biggest difference maker and thing that can inspire the most hope in a fan base.
And fans feel it, but coaches also feel it. And I'll give you an example. When the Saints drafted Marcus Davenport, or that's not a good example because they think of Lamar Miller. But I'm going to say, when they drafted Stephon Anthony, right? Terrible pick. A bust. A horrible pick. We don't go back and look at it and say, oh, they should have drafted that offensive lineman instead. They should have drafted this corner and said, no, no, no. But in 2017, the greatest draft in the history of the league, maybe, and the greatest draft unquestionably in Saints history, people still lament. Oh, man. They almost got Mahomes. They were ready to pick Mahomes at 10, and Kansas City leaped them, and we didn't get a generational quarterback. And Sean Payton talks about it to everybody on earth.
I was gonna draft Mahomes. We were ready to do it. I told Drew that he had his two buddies there. I pulled them into the closet, and we were gonna draft Mahomes. I told him that it was gonna happen.
So here's my thing, Sean Payton. If he looks at Bo Nix as his guy, knowing what we know about Sean Payton, Kevin, there is no freaking way that he's going to pick another player and trust his general manager to trade back in or trade back, because he's going to be like, I want Bo Nix. Bo Nix is the guy that I believe is going to fix our quarterback position. Draft his ass right now.
If they're that sold on Bo Nix, or listen, if somehow, if the Vikings decide to pass on a quarterback, which would be absolutely asinine, but whatever, it's the NFL, teams can be stupid, then the Broncos would grab J.J. McCarthy.
But here's the thing, though. I think it comes down to, are the Vikings and Denver, do they love either or both of those guys, right? Like the Bo Nix, maybe made up. Like people speculate that Sean Payton likes him. It may be a lie. I don't know. The thing is, you have to wonder, do these teams really like this quarterback? My thing is, I think quarterbacks are going to go 1, 2, 3, 4. I just can't see Arizona or 5 in San Diego. If you know, and if you're Arizona and you know you're getting calls from Minnesota and you're negotiating with them, right?
Right.
And you're trying to do, well, I want both first, and I want a pick next year. I want blah, 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 blah. Arizona, you're kind of stuck in a sense of you 100% know if you tell Minnesota we're not doing the deal and you pick Marvin Harrison, you know that San Diego, Minnesota's just going to call them and offer them the same deal, right? So right. I think Arizona is going to be the quarterback spot because they've traded down a bunch already. They're
right. They have 7 picks in the top 104.
Yeah. So
seven. This is literally my wet dream.
It is. I was
for
gonna
an
say,
NFL like, draft.
So I can't see Arizona not doing a deal for a quarterback because they argued over a 2025 third round pick that they wanted that Minnesota wouldn't give them or something. Like I can't see Arizona not trading out. So 1, 2, 3, 4. But
Arizona, so they only have 6 picks in 2025. I could see them dropping back and saying, okay, we'll take a later pick, a much later pick, but we need something from 2025.
Yeah.
We want your 2025.
Yeah, we want your third and your fourth or something. Like we want all your mid-round picks from 2025. That's a great point. The other thing on this draft and we don't talk about it a lot, and we don't talk about it for the Saints because corner isn't a huge need for the Saints. We've talked about offensive tackle. We talked about defensive line and all those sorts of things.
I mean, it will be.
It will be. There's a couple of corners, maybe 3, depending on Cooper DeJean or DeJean. We argued about that on the podcast, how to say his name. He's kind of all over the place with his rankings. But is corner, have you started to see the corners start to sneak into the top 13?
Oh, yeah. Hang on. Let me shoot. I just had it pulled up. So Cooper DeJean and Kenyon Mitchell are the top 2 corners. Mm-hmm. And then you got Terrion Arnold, who is PFF has him rated at 15.
Yeah,
Walt, you know, Terrion Arnold. Yeah. So I'm switching over between a couple of different mock draft settings here or sites, I should say. And those 3 guys are going in the top 15 and even the top 20. I don't think the Saints need to grab a corner with the first, you know, assuming they stay at 14.
But, but here's the thing. As I look at the top 13, I think Atlanta and Denver and the Raiders could all go corner depending. Like Denver, I think they're just as likely to pick Bo Nix to me as they are to pick a corner. And Kevin,
I tell you, make your point and then I'll disagree with you.
I just see that to me is the dream scenario. If I can't have 5 quarterbacks go in the top 13, give me 4 quarterbacks, the 3 top receivers, that's 7, and 2 corners, that's 9, and alt, that's 10. Now I'm looking that, and then suddenly you're looking exactly how you want it to go for the Saints. It would surprise me, but it wouldn't totally shock me if Atlanta went corner at 8, is all I'm saying. Atlanta and Raiders both went corner. Could be a very good situation for the Saints, but disagree with me.
Yeah, so I see. So wait, who's ranked? Who's 9th? Who's 9th here?
Because
that would, well, no, that's supposed to be the Bears. So the wrong thing there. I apologize.
And we also, after you look this up, I want you to think about, like, every draft almost there's some team that we're like, oh my God, they just traded up for Mitch Trubisky. What are we doing? Like, right. So there's always some team doing something stupid.
So the four quarterbacks before the Saints, and then also 1, 2, 3, 4. You get the four wide receivers, the two LSU kids.
You think Brian Thomas could go top 13? Wow.
Possible.
Wow, yeah.
Not out of the realm of possibility.
That's right. Because his tape and his Raz, like, he's irresistible.
Oh shit.
I mean, that's a dream scenario too. You get four quarterbacks, four receivers, two corners. Then
Cooper DeJean and Kenyon Mitchell. So that puts you at 10.
That's right.
You get Joe Alt. That's 11.
Yep.
Who's the top? Let me look at the top edge guy here.
And Turner.
You've possibly got. No, not him. Not him. Not him. Move down. Move down. You got Jerzon Newton from Illinois.
Yeah, that's
an interior guy.
Yeah.
And then with edge, where'd he go? You got Dallas Turner.
Yeah.
Latu. Shit, somebody could reach and take, I say reach as in like slight reach. Somebody could grab Byron Murphy, the interior guy. And then with OT, so I said Joe Alt, and then you got Fuaga from, where's he, Oregon State. So it's entirely possible that Fuaga could be available at 14, Fashano, Fontenot. And I'm mispronouncing that, the tackle from
Washington. That's three tackles.
Right. So you could have three tackles available. Possible that Dallas Turner could be there at edge. Possible. Yeah. Jared Verse, I think, for sure will be there at edge. J.C. Latham, tackle. Nate Wiggins at corner. He'll be there. Like,
here's a question for you, Kevin.
Yeah. Oh, I remember. So here's the thing I was going to say before. With Brock Bowers. It's possible Brock Bowers could be there at 14. Mm-hmm. But I think if Brock Bowers slips, I see Denver going after him.
Ooh.
Listen, Sean Payton may not have a quarterback, but you get Brock Bowers at tight end.
Yeah.
You go grab, I don't know if Tannehill is still available, but you grab somebody like a Ryan Tannehill in free agency, and you just have a thing where it's like, I'm trying to build the team up with the few draft picks I have.
Yeah.
And I'll worry about quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because obviously, listen, the owners and the management let him drive off Russell Wilson. So clearly they're not going to dump him after 2024.
Yeah.
So that means they're investing in him for beyond that. So he looks at 2024 like, let me start getting pieces in place and get some. And if Brock Bowers falls, or if one of the top wide receivers falls to him, I can see him grabbing that.
Yeah.
And saying, to hell with quarterback. I'll sign a free agent. I'll draft one later, in the later rounds, whatever.
Here's my question. Listen, I know people will scream at us. The Saints never trade down. They're never going to trade down. It's never going to happen.
Well, I want it to happen. So
I want it to happen. But so here's my question. Let's say it all goes swimmingly for the Saints, and they're there at 14, and they've got three of those tackles. Whoever they are, not Alt. Whoever the top. Let's say it's the three of them, right? And let's just say the Saints, they won't grade them all the same, but let's say the Saints are comfortable with all three of them. And they're like, we got them similar grades. They're in the cloud. So we got three tackles that we are very comfortable with at 14. And you're Mickey Loomis, and you got calls, and teams are saying, hey, we want to move up. We want to move up. How far, if you're Mickey Loomis, and you're not Kevin, you're Mickey Loomis, and you hate to trade down, but you got three tackles. If you're Mickey Loomis, how many spots would you be willing to trade down and believe you can still get one of those three tackles and get a pick? How far would you be willing to go? You're not Kevin, but you're Mickey Loomis. Yeah. How far do you think?
Yeah. Me, I would trade down to 32 in the first round and stockpile. Man. But Mickey Loomis and doing that, hang on, let me pull back up. So is it possible that Fuaga could also, and I'm who knows if I'm mispronouncing his name. Mm-hmm. Is it possible he drops down too? I'll say for this exercise, he does not. So him and Alt are already gone. So that would leave Fontenot, Fasciano, Latham. Mm-hmm. You got Mims. Graham Barton's listed as a tackle.
Yeah, but those are, I think
guard center.
I think those are the second tier guys. So I think you got three guys there.
Okay, so Fontenot, Fasciano, and Latham.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to say how far back could you go? I think the furthest back I would consider trading would be 17 or 18. So that's the Jaguars or the Bengals.
Yeah.
And honestly, Mickey Loomis, it might even be more conservative. He'd probably take the more conservative route and say the Jaguars.
Yeah. Because I think
the Colts don't seem to need a tackle.
Seattle doesn't, but they need interior guys. Could they look at one of those guys as, hey, we'll play him on an interior. If one of these two rookie tackles that we drafted 2 years ago doesn't work out, we could bump him out.
And then the Jaguars, same thing. They need a guard and a center. So that's why maybe trading to the Bengals would not be the best option. So, if you're looking to grab one of those three guys that we mentioned, then the Jaguars might be your safer of the bets.
Well, here's the thing, too. If you just trading from 14 to 17, I could probably get you to, like, Mickey Loomis could play hard, but I bet you could get a top 100 pick for, you know, like
you
if the Saints.
96. You can get 96 from the Jaguars.
To me.
And 116. You can even get your own pick back.
Yeah, like, to me, that's perfect for the Saints because then you're either getting, you now have three in the top 100 or three in the top.
Yeah, you have three in the top 100.
Yeah.
And then plus I got 116 from them. So now I've got four in the top. Yeah. So I got three in the top 100 and then a fourth one at 116. Yeah. So I thought I was going to have something clever.
So back to our original thing that we started this podcast on, what to root for if you're a Saints fan. I want quarterbacks.
You want you want four, if not five quarterbacks. I think five is unrealistic, but you want four quarterbacks to go before you want Harrison to go. You want Neighbors to go. You want somebody to reach for one of the edges, whether that's Dallas Turner or whoever. You want them to go. You want Rome Odunze to go.
Yeah, he's going to go too, I think. That's three receivers.
You know, if you want to root for Brian, for somebody to like go ham for Brian Thomas and grab him, sure, but that's that's unrealistic. Two of the corners at least.
Yeah.
And then one of the other tackles, so that would be Fuaga.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, we're gonna get out of here.
What's funny is all of this, we're doing all this talk. And I'm seeing more and more mock drafts or projections where it ends up just being Olu Fasciano at 14.
Yeah.
Which, I'll be happy as a clam with that.
I just look at him, Kevin, I just look at him as major school. Raz is very, very good. Played a ton of games. Like, he just feels like a very Saintsy pick, and a pick where when they pick him afterwards, they're going to be like, he was top six on our board. And it won't, and you know, teams are like, we couldn't believe he was there. But I really believe it's a thing where he's a guy, could be, He could be very, very high on the Saints draft board. And I wish we don't have our sources on as good where we know. Like, I feel like he could just be a guy where the Saints would be like, we're not trading shit, you know? But
yeah.
But my final question, and then we're going to get out of here for you.
Sure.
Set me up the scenario that not – because we've always said it, we don't think the Saints will trade up, but set me up the scenario where if the Saints are at 14 and they don't trade down, it would drive you absolutely bananas. And you'd be like, if they're not trading down, this is the perfect scenario for you to trade down, Mickey Loomis, and you're not, okay. It's never happening as long as you're running the Saints.
So you mean what would be the scenario that would drive me insane?
Yes.
I mean, look, if Brock Bowers dropped to 14 and we found, but this would be an after the fact. If we found out there were a few teams calling them and Mickey Loomis just was like, no, not interested, I would be annoyed. I think the thing that would make me like, that would drive me nuts. And I joked about it on the big show.
That's right.
I said, if Jaden Daniels falls to 14, I'm throwing my phone out of my house. Like I'm opening a window and just chucking it because Saints Twitter is going to eat itself because they're not going to take, I'm saying they're not going to take a quarterback at 14, but then if one of those quarterbacks falls to 14, like that would have to be the best player on the board.
Yeah.
And so then it just becomes this thing of, well, if they take him, I look at that as almost a waste because they're not getting rid of Carr. Like they're just not. Right. They put too much money in him to just get rid of him. And you're going to have, it would be a huge distraction with whoever the quarterback would be. Backing him up from the first, you know,
I wonder
first overall pick from your team in the first round, it would be too much of a distraction. Especially when the team has so many other needs.
I wonder for Jaden Daniels to fall to 14. I wonder what kind of felony would he have to commit where Saints Twitter would still be, we would be understanding that the Saints aren't taking him. Like if they're like, hey, Jaden Daniels, he murdered a hobo. It's alleged. Would Saints Twitter be like, it's possible murder. You can't take him at 14. I don't think they would. I think they'd be like, take him. Like I don't think there's any crime, any scenario where Saints Twitter would be okay with the Saints not taking him at 14, but that's not going to happen. Just to find another, you know, this exercise, and then I promise this is the last thing, Kevin. As you've done this mock draft, as you've done them, are you feeling pretty good about where the Saints sit at 14? Because I know, you know, we've been doing this mock draft where you become our mock draft expert. We've been doing this for a couple of years, and I know some years you're like, I don't know. Like, I don't feel great about where they sit. How are you feeling about where you're like, okay, they're going to sit at 14. How are you feeling about everything that's going to go before them? Are you feeling pretty good? Like, hey, I think
feel confident that a good tackle is going to be available at 14. Again, I'm keyed in on the fact, I'm just keyed in on offensive tackle is their biggest need.
Yeah.
There are enough good tackles that one would be available at 14. I think there's a slight...
Mm-hmm.
If say at 14 it's if it's J.C. Latham and Amarius Mims that are the ones that are available at 14, and you've got the edge tack, you've got the edge defender. I keep calling him edge tackle, damn fool. Like if Latu is there and Turner is there and the other fella from Florida State's there. Then it kind of becomes if one of the top corners is there, why can't I think of his name? Kenyon Mitchell.
Yeah.
And Cooper DeGene.
Hey.
Like one of those guys is suddenly there. So now you've got one of the top corners And like yep. two or three of the top edge guys are yep. sitting there with like the lowest guy in the yep. in the top tier of tackles. Then it becomes a tug at the collar situation. Yep. It's do you take the lower tackle,
or
do you take one of the other positions that are position of need to a slightly yep. lower degree?
Yep.
Or do you start fielding calls? That's the only thing. But honestly, I don't see that happening.
Yep.
I don't see that happening. I think the four quarterbacks are going and other situations are going to go like that.
Yep. All right, guys. Thanks for joining us. Like us, rate us, review us, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Go to saintshappyhour.com, become a patron. We need all the support we can get. Thanks to Kevin. Thanks to Thomas for running the show back in Poland. Until next time, the bar is closed.